This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode, a long-awaited episode of Top Beer. I'm Adrian Del Toro. With me is my co-host, Timothy Robert Buckner. Tim, it's been a while. How are you?
It's been a while. Yeah, I mean, Jesus. What is up? Where have we been? I bet that's what everybody's asking. They're thinking, I thought this show was canceled.
Tim and Adrian finally broke up.
Yeah, right?
No, the truth is, I was on vacation because I got married earlier in April, sort of mid-April-ish, I guess. So I was gone. I was in California for a little over a week and a half. Was it like a week and a half, 2 weeks? I don't even remember now at this point. It's like it all happened so fast. And then I came back, and then there was some mix-up with scheduling and trying to get recordings together. And then apparently, if you have AT&T and you have an iPhone and you text somebody who's on Android, and what network are you on, Verizon, Tim?
Sprint.
Sometimes, and sometimes the text messages don't go through, which I didn't realize fully until last week because we were talking about recording last Saturday, and I think, Tim, you said, well, we could wait to do it later or something, and then I responded saying, no, let's just do it early. That's fine, or whatever I said. The point is, it didn't go through. Tim didn't get it, and it's funny because the following day, I texted you this beer I was drinking at the brewery down the street, and you said, oh, that sounds pretty good, right? Or whatever you said.
Yeah.
And I should have thought, oh, since I have them here, I should be like, oh, by the way, we're still on for tomorrow, right? And then I didn't think to do that, and I just assumed we were on. And then, you know what happens when you assume things, Tim? You make an ass out of you and me. So we ended up with not being able to record last Saturday, as we should have. So I feel like it's been I think it's been close to a month since we've released an episode, which is kind of sad if you think about
it. Probably been close to a month, that's for sure.
But but we're still here. We're still drinking beers and we're still enjoying them, and we're still sending each other pictures of beers that we're enjoying at the moment. So Top Beer is not dead, ladies and gentlemen. We're still gonna go as strong as we can, I guess.
Ride it till the wheels fall off.
So what were you going to say? Sorry.
But no, I was going to say, you know, it's funny because the radio silence, as you talk about sending each other pictures of beers we're drinking, we should have been tweeting those pictures out, but I think it kind of added to the mystique of the radio silence that we didn't. I don't even think we were really tweeting any beer stuff out for the whole time.
No. And it's funny because I had some pretty good beers while I was on vacation, and even since then, I got to visit the Ballast Point Brewery in downtown San Diego. It's not their actual brewery. It's like one of their tap rooms or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I asked the guy, I was like, so do you guys actually brew your beers here and distribute it from here and all that? Which at the time didn't seem like a dumb question, but now that I think about it, it does, because it's like, it's clearly just a big tap room they have like in old, little Italy or whatever it's called in San Diego. And obviously it's not a big enough like space for them to be able to do all that. So he's like, no, we our distribution center's out in, like, I forget where he said it was, somewhere out in like the San Diego County somewhere. So that was just one of their tap rooms.
Nowhere.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you been to Ballast Point at all anywhere?
I have not. They opened a new kind of restaurant-y place in Long Beach. Just thinking about checking that out eventually.
I
haven't gotten around to it just yet. Next step, that'll be the next step on that, the Ballast Point excursion. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, they have a pretty large portfolio of beers. I didn't realize how many beers they actually had. And
they really do. They really do.
Yeah. So I did that. Well, what's new? What's going on with you, Tim?
Well, first thing that's going on with me is I'm gonna open up this beer.
Ah, okay. So let's get into it. What do you have in there?
I can't read it. I can't pronounce it, I don't think, properly. It's Schollhofer Weiss beer with grapefruit juice. It's a shandy from Germany. It's a Hefeweizen, so it's a wheat beer with grapefruit juice, and it's quite the refreshing little jaunt, especially for early morning breakfast beer. I think some people like the stouts and like the oatmeal stout or coffee stout as like a breakfasty beer, or even the ones with the tea that I've been getting from Solark. But for me, I think a nice fruit juice wheat ale is kind of great. It's for the breakfast time, you know?
You know, I have to say, whenever I see grapefruit on a beer, I always think, I automatically think like that has to be good. It's the only fruit. Grapefruit is a fruit, right?
Yeah.
It's the only fruit that when I see it on a beer, it's like, I would want to drink that. But if I see like strawberry rhubarb pale ale, I'm like, no, that's going to be probably way too sweet. When I see grapefruit, I know I assume it's going to be good. I had, speaking of Ballast Point, I had their grapefruit sculpin finally. Oh, nice. Delicious, Tim. Delicious. Have you had it? Have you tried their
grapefruit? I have. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I had that while I was on vacation for the first time. And we were driving from, we drove all the way from Colorado, and we were in California finally. And we were like maybe an hour away from our destination. And we stopped to get gas. And the gas station I had its own little beer cooler room, which you don't really, I don't know if in California you see that a lot. Do you, Tim? Do like gas stations like their own little beer cooler rooms?
Not gas stations that I've seen too regularly with that, but I've seen it in like the beer stores and the, like Devo's, Total Wine, places like that will have that.
Well, no, well, because this place was like a gas station / convenience store, and I think it's a little bit more common in California, because I know like the Circle K in Thousand Palms where I'm from, like they have a beer cooler room, even they have one, so. I think it's a little bit more.
Oh yeah, you there. Know what? You're right. I have seen that a little bit here and there.
Right.
You
so, are right. So I walked in there. And I was like, I'm curious to see what their selection is, and they, you know, they had just the usual stuff. But I saw Ballast Point. I saw their grapefruit scope, and I'm like, well, here's my opportunity. So I picked up a 6-pack of that, and all was good in the world. So how's that beer tasting, by the way?
Fantastic. Nice and citrusy, a little sweet, but not too much. Really great balance here. I'm enjoying this quite a bit. As I said, for breakfast, it's really bright flavoring. Just good stuff.
What's the color on that? I imagine it's kind of like a almost like a light yellowish.
It's color. Like a kind, yeah, like light yellowy orange. It's super hazy, kind of strawy looking. Mm-hmm. It's definitely some good stuff right here.
Well, that sounds like good stuff. Do you wanna bring up
the score? So let's. What's that? I'm sorry.
Do you wanna bring up the score on that one, on rape beer or anything?
Oh, I guess I should. I didn't even think about doing that.
I mean, you don't have to. That's not a big deal. This is more of us just kind of catching up on things, so we don't have to be super, I guess, official, right?
Right. So, let's talk about the wedding. How did that go?
The wedding that you weren't able to make it to?
Yes, the wedding that I missed. I don't know if you've listened to any of my other podcasts. I don't expect that you have, but it's really been eating me up inside.
No, man, it's fine. I understand. Like you said, life happens, right?
Yeah, it was a rough weekend.
Yeah, so you were sick. So what happened? Well, first of all, tell me. You told me you got a little sick. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it too much, but I mean,
no, I don't mind. Okay, so right here on this one, overall 82 style. Or no, overall 52, style 89. So that's really interesting. People, I guess, don't really like this beer, but I'm into it.
They don't like the style, but the overall score is pretty good. That's pretty good.
No, it's the opposite, actually.
Oh, they don't like the... Oh, okay. Oh,
interesting. Which is weird. Oh, wait, this is just the straight-up one without the grapefruit. Maybe I'll add the grapefruit, make a difference.
Huh? I thought... Well, you said it. You said grapefruit. I thought it's not on the label there?
So, no, I pulled up the one that's just the waste without the grapefruit. Here's the one with the grapefruit. Overall, 22 style, 96. So they like this one even less.
Well, that's a pretty crazy ratio there. Normally, it's closer.
Is. Yeah, usually it's a lot closer. So people think that this is good for a shandy, but not good for a drinking, which I disagree with. So, yeah, I woke up that morning. Everything was fine. The plan was to get to work, check the maps. I kept my eye on the Google Maps all day just to make sure if I was going to be able to make it, and I was going to leave work early to just rush out there for the wedding and all this. And then I took my break in the middle of the day, and I saw some apples sitting on the table. And I was like, oh, you know, and I ate one of them, and I was like, oh, that was – there was something about it. It felt a little – like the texture was a little off, but I was like,
was
oh, whatever.
Was it very mealy?
It was just kind of hard and weird. I don't even know.
Are you sure you ate an apple? Because you may have eaten one of those wax.
It may have been. So then I grabbed another one and I ate that one about halfway through. And then I checked the table and the apples were like the kind where they're kind of red with like yellow or usually a yellowy, like lighter colored splotches on it. But the ones that I could see, the splotches were like darker green.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, oh, these are like really underripe. And I realized that I ate two of them. And then, yeah, I was taking some unfortunate trips to the restroom over and over again. And at that point I was like, well, how am I going to be stuck in the car for 2 hours, not knowing when I'm possibly going to have diarrhea at any moment. So
to be fair, coming out of LA could be well over 2 hours at that time on a Thursday.
No, that's what it said. It was going to be a 2 hour drive. It said, and I was Jesus, you know, I'm going to have diarrhea. Well, I'm stuck in the car for 2 hours. That's going to be really tough. And then the other side of it, too, is my wife, Alicia, she messaged me and said that she went to the hospital that morning.
What happened?
She was fine, and I went and picked her up from work. I was like, oh, I don't want to have to make her have to, like, take the bus home or whatever when she's not feeling good. And I go, and her back was just all messed up, and she was, like, having trouble even moving around and walking and stuff. So I was kind of like, ah, geez, like, I don't feel like it's right to leave her alone when she might be hurt really bad. And I was having crazy diarrhea. So it just kind of didn't come together. And then you messaged me and I didn't want to tell you, cause I didn't want it to be on your mind while you were doing your wedding stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just waited. And then finally you messaged me, cause I figured you'd be so busy with so much other stuff that you may not even notice until later. So my plan was to wait until it was like 3 or 4 hours after the point where you said it was supposed to start. And just messaged you saying, sorry, I couldn't make it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I think you got me, you messaged me a little bit earlier than that.
A little bit, but you're right. I mean, I there was so much going on that it didn't even occur to me to, you know, find out if you were coming or not until well after it started. Because I did have, there was a lot going on. As you can imagine, there was a lot of craziness, so.
Yeah, of course.
But
so.
I was like, oh, wait. I was looking around, I was like, Tim's not here, son of a bitch. So then that's when I texted you, and I was like, oh, you coming? Or I kind of figured you weren't at that point. I mean, I thought maybe traffic or something, I don't know. But
yeah, no, I mean, the traffic was whatever. I left work, or I was going to leave work with time to get there and everything. But like I said, there was just so much other stuff that I just couldn't. I didn't want to risk it, you know. And you know how it can be when you have someone in your family who they may be saying, oh, I'm fine, but she went to the hospital, so I wasn't sure just how bad it was, you know?
Yeah, it's perfectly understandable. I mean, with her telling you that, I'm sure you were worried regardless of whatever reason she had to go to the hospital. I think you had the whole the whole diarrhea thing probably didn't help either, so.
No, yeah, so it was definitely a bummer. I wish that I had been able to make it, but so tell me about it.
Well, you were there in spirit, I'll just say that.
All right.
No, it was good, man. You know, honestly, it was It went by a lot faster than I thought it would, which I guess is kind of normal. Because people always say, like, oh, enjoy your wedding day because it'll go by so fast. And it did. It really did. No, but my good friend Brian from Arizona, he came out the day before for the rehearsal, which we had.
Nice.
We had some dinner, and then we went to Sarah's aunt's house because Sarah's mom and family and stuff, they were doing all the decorations for it, like the flowers and the greenery and stuff like that. So we went there for a little bit, kind of hanging out, sort of helping out, but not really. And then went to I stayed the night with my friend Brian in a hotel room that we booked, and then the next day we just got up and went and got a fresh haircut, got my beard trimmed nice and trimmed. And you know what, I thought I was expecting it to be like, I don't know, $25 for like a haircut and a beard trim. It was like $10, the guy said. And I was like, okay, well, I'll pay $20 since it's like $10 just seems like too little, you know? Like, doesn't that seem like kind of crazy that it'd only be like $10 for all that? So,
yeah, no.
I was like, well, I'm going to pay him $20 because it's my wedding day and I'm feeling generous.
Yeah. And, you know, he did $20 worth of work, right?
Exactly. So we went and had lunch really quick. My friend James also joined us, you know, James. And we went to In-N-Out, of course. And it was funny because I was about to get onions on my burger, but Brian's like, no, don't get onions because you're gonna be having the onion breath all day. It's your wedding day. You don't want that. So I was like, you're right. Good call. So I didn't do it. And it really was a good call on his part, by the way.
Nice.
But you know, it's funny because just with everything going on, I was just like, I almost didn't even have an appetite that day. It was kind of weird. You know what I mean? Like, I ate the, you know, I ate In-N-Out. It was fine, but then, like, I wasn't really hungry, and I wasn't really that hungry after that for a while, but I was, like, just, like, I don't know if it was nerves or what it was, but we went back to the hotel, and we just kind of hung out for a bit, and James brought over some beers, because, you know, got to pre-game in a little bit.
yeah, gotta drink off those nerves,
exactly.
Huh?
Oh, and by the way, if for those of you listening as well, you should try Red Trolley. Have you ever had Red Trolley? I think they're also.
I have. It's pretty good.
It was their Red Trolley. Right? Yeah, it was whatever Red Trolley you just find in any store, I guess, because that's what James brought over. I had that and I was like, oh, this is actually really good. So Red Trolley, give it a try.
It's my favorite. Carl Strauss. I'm not a huge Carl Strauss fan, just because, you know, they're kind of crafty or whatever, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. So I had I had two of those. And then we went to the venue, and we were already running late because I just let the time kind of go by a little bit. And we get there, and I'm thinking, okay, there's, because I was under the understanding that there was going to be, like, a room for the guys to, you know, get dressed in, because I wasn't going to get dressed at the hotel and then, you know, drive to the venue. Not, it wasn't that far to begin with, but I wanted to get dressed there, you know?
And yeah, yeah.
We get there, and apparently there isn't, like, a room for the guys to get dressed in. There's, like, downstairs there's like a basement where like the bar is, and there's like a restroom, and there's like a little area where we can kind of hang out, and that's where we had to get ready. And I got ready in the restroom, so I went into the restroom and I put my winning suit on in the freaking restroom.
Nice. Of all places. This is classy day.
Super classy, right? And we were rushing, and like, it's funny because I was thinking, okay, I'm gonna set up my GoPro and I'm gonna do a time lapse of the whole thing, and I'm gonna do this and that. I forgot the damn GoPro. I forgot my cufflinks. I lost my pocket square for my wedding suit itself. I lost my damn pocket square, and I called Sarah. I told her, I was like, I can't find my pocket square. I only have this one. She's like, what color is it? I'm like, it's this color. She's like, yo, that's not the one that's for that suit. I'm like, shit. Well, what do you want me to do? Should I go to Kohl's really quick and pick one up? She's like, no, it's not worth it for a pocket square. So no pocket square, no cufflinks. So that was fun. But luckily everything else is fine. And I got dressed, and then, before you knew it, then it was time to get started, and a couple people were running late, but, you know, we got started probably like around, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes after it was supposed to start. So, and then, yeah, it went by good. You know, Sarah looked, you know, beautiful in her dress, and, you know, the guy that did the ceremony, the guy, what do you call it, the officiant, you know, he was pretty funny. You know, he had a good sense of humor and stuff, and then after that, you know, we ate, and then I gave a little bit of a speech, you know, just thanking everybody, thanking, you know, my parents, her parents, and everybody who helped out. And I forget what else I said. I really wish somebody would have rolled on it so I could have, like, watched it later. But
yeah, why didn't you have anyone there filming it?
Well, O'Brien was thinking about maybe recording stuff, but then we weren't planning on having anyone recording video anyway. But he kind of suggested it, and we were gonna do it, but then we didn't do it, and I don't know, it's just too much going on, so we didn't. I know some people recorded some stuff on their phones, but
oh, cool. So hopefully they did it landscape.
Yeah, I hope so too. But that was pretty much it. And then, you know, then we did the dance and the cake and the this, that, and the other. You know, just, I mean, it was all, like I said, it all went by so fast. But it was really fun, though. I had a good time, and, you know, I wish you would have been there. It was, you know, understand that you didn't, weren't able to come, but it was good. It was good. You were there in spirit, and, you know, some other friends of mine that I used to work with were there, and obviously family and friends were there. So overall, it was a lot better than I thought it would be. I mean, I don't know. I guess I wasn't really sure how it would go, but it went down really well. So
went pretty smoothly.
Pretty smoothly. We had a lot of cake left over. We had like
what'd you do with all that cake?
We left it. So so here's the thing, right? So when you buy a wedding cake, like the main part is like the base. Well, not the main part, but like the base. There's like a base.
It's all about that base.
And our base was shaped like an octagon or something. It was like a sort of a geometric shape.
Oh, because you love UFC so much.
Exactly. There you go. And we're leaving after we're pretty much clearing everything out. And I see all this cake. I'm like, what are we going to do with this cake? And the guy that works in the venue, he's like, well, we can just donate it if you don't want to just throw it away. I'm like, yeah. I would feel a lot better if you at least donate it to somebody, because that is a lot of freaking cake, right?
They donate it to science?
Donate it to a homeless shelter. I don't care. Just as long as somebody gets to eat that cake, because I feel bad that we paid, like, I don't know, $600 for a cake, and this whole base is like left over and it's going to be thrown out. So they said, yeah, we always just donate leftovers to, I don't know, somebody. So I was like, okay, I felt a lot better about that. I would have felt like shit if they just, you know, thrown away the whole freaking base of the cake. But yeah.
Got too much cake.
Just, it was a lot of cake, Tim. I mean, you could have had like, you know, you could have fed like another 40 people with that base. You know what
Why'd
I mean?
You get so much cake?
I don't know. I guess we thought we were going to have more people than we did. And then plus, like, we also had pies, too. We had like 14 pies, I think, or 12 or 14.
Why so many pies?
Well, my mother-in-law said, you know, we should get some pies. And Sarah, and she said to Sarah, how many pies should we get? And Sarah said, I don't know, get like 6 or 8. And Sarah's mom was like, okay, I'll get 12. She got 14.
14. Who wants wedding pie anyways? Whose idea was that?
Well, it was their idea. But the thing is, the pie was actually really
good.
Adam
Carolla situation?
the pie was actually really, it was like, it was different kinds of pie. I had some later at her aunt's house where they brought the leftovers. I had some coconut cream something. It was really good, but it was...
Well, yeah, I mean, pie is obviously better than cake. Everybody knows that.
Right. Well, I told Sarah, I was like, Mexicans don't eat pie, so I don't think anyone in my family is going to be eating pie, just so you know, but...
Why don't Mexicans eat pie?
I don't know. I didn't grow up eating pie. Like, I think the only times that we ever ate pie was, like, if we went to Denny's. You know how Denny's would sell pies?
Right, and
maybe
right.
We wanted some for dessert or something. But that was, even then, it was rare. Like, Mexicans are all about cake. We're all about just other kinds of sweet, you know, desserts. Like, those Mexican sweetbreads and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you have, like,
a
concha with your cup of coffee at night. My mom would do that sometimes. She'd make coffee at night when, like, my dad's friend would come over. We'd be hanging out. Oh, I'll make some coffee and we'll go buy some sweet bread. And that's what you do, you know? But not right. Pie. Pie just isn't a thing. So, I don't know.
They do the, like, they're like empanadas, but with, like, sweet stuff inside of it, right?
Yes. Oh, I love those.
So, those are like little pie pockets, kind of?
Pretty much. I can get down with those. I love empanadas. I can get down with some empanadas, but pie.
I don't mind what the fuck's in it. I don't, like, it doesn't matter the time of day or what's in it. I will always eat an empanada. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, it could be the middle of the night and I'll eat, like, a breakfast flavor or like, you know, like savory one,
yeah.
Swiss chard, whatever. It could be early in the morning. I'll still go to town on it. It could be the middle of the day and I'll eat like a, you know, sweet lemon or cherry empanada. Doesn't matter, man. I get down with those empanadas.
Those shits are good. And my dad still, you know, he'll still come home like with a bag of sweet bread and like several of those empanadas. They're usually the cream cheese ones. I love those. Those are great.
Oh, they're so good.
Super flaky and good. But anyway, so yeah, so we had all this pie, all this cake left over, blah, 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 and we had we had Mexican food for dinner. It was like chicken with like black beans and some rice. It was really good too. Everything was good. It was everything about that day went really well. You know, after it being over, it just felt like you had all this like weight lifted off your shoulders. So
nice.
But yeah, overall good times.
So how's the married life?
Good.
Any different?
Honestly, I mean, yes and no. I mean, different but at the same time the same. I mean, not in a bad way, you know, but
right.
But yeah, I mean I don't know, how did it feel for you when you got married? I mean, it didn't feel that much different.
It didn't feel different.
So no, but everything good so far, Tim.
Every now and then something will pop in my head, like just a little bit, like if there's like not an argument, but like, because we don't really, me and my wife don't really fight or argue, but
no.
we'll have like times where we get like, we both get a little bit emotional and like just feel bad for hurting each other's feelings.
Oh, yeah. I get that.
And every now and then, it'll pop in my head. And it's not like I wish I could, but there is a moment where I'm like, oh, yeah, like, there's no way to just kind of leave. You know what I mean? Like, not, again, like I said, not that I would.
Right.
But every now and then, it's like, stuff's a little bit hard. And it's like, it's stupid. It's like the idea of like, oh, I got a paper cut, so I'm just going to go kill myself. It's like, we're having like a little bit of an argument, like, about, like, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I think maybe I miscommunicated that and you didn't understand what I really felt, and we're both like sad and we're just explaining, like trying to explain to each other why we didn't communicate something properly. And it'll just kind of flash in my head a little bit and be like, oh yeah, like, if this ever did get shitty, I can't just take off.
Right.
Like I would with any other situation where we're not like married.
Well,
which
you
is, like,
could, but you shouldn't.
It's like a lot harder.
Right.
You know? And so I was just like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. So, like, that kind of stuff just every now and then. But that's, like, the only difference is just every now and then it, like, crosses my mind.
Yeah.
But
you and your wife, and you and Alicia, you guys are pretty even-tempered, though. I feel like you guys fighting is really just you guys kind of bickering, right? I mean,
it's not even bickering. Like, sometimes the bickering, I take it too far because I think it's fun and funny. But it gets on her nerves a little bit, and then that'll turn into, like, she thinks like that's annoying, knock it off, and like that's kind of that. But I think what our like fight really turns out, like, I mean, we had a little issue the other day, and I'm like trying to even remember what it was about, but it was like, I think it was more of like a misunderstanding. I mean, so I, you know me, I'm like pretty regimented. I like to have like my plans and my schedules and know what's happening when and what's going first and all that. Yeah. And like every now and then it's like, it's difficult with her job because I'll like want to know what's going on and there's no way for her to really tell me. It'll be like, oh, I'm just going to leave it, whatever. And like that kind of stuff gets on my nerves a little bit. So like that'll turn into like a little bit of a like, hey, you know, like I am slightly annoyed that like I didn't know what was going on for like an hour and a half, and I kind of feel like I wasted my life because I couldn't do anything during that time, you know?
Yeah, and you're like very that. Serious looks, when it comes to that, when it comes to like planning your day and stuff, right? Like,
yeah, I am. It's kind of.
I used to not realize that. Like back in the day when we did comedy sketches, like I used to think, oh, Tim, you know, he'll just show up when we call him or whatever. But no, you even back then you were very like, okay, guys, what time are we gonna meet up? What, are we going to get something to eat first? If so, where are we going to go? All right. And then, like, you know what I mean? Like, you used to be very, you try to be very on point when it came to, like, you know, meeting up and what time and this and that. And you're still like that now, obviously.
Yeah. It's really important to me to be efficient, honestly.
And it's hard for you to deal with people because I'm less efficient, as you know. And I know firsthand what it's like when you get annoyed when, you know, things don't pan out the way we sort of talked about it or scheduled it or planned it or whatever, right?
So. Right, no, yeah. That's a big one for me, and it's probably a problem, honestly, and I should just accept it. But what's funny is, like, I have this weird efficiency obsession, and it doesn't come from, like, a place of greed. Like, a lot of people go, like, I want to, like, come be from? The most... Like, a lot of people, I think, go, like, oh, I want to be the most efficient so I can, like, make the most money or do this. Like, my thing about efficiency comes down to like conservation is like my biggest issue.
Conservation?
When I was very young, it like really got stuck in my head about like wasting utility being like destructive to the planet. And I like almost kind of apply that same logic to even like time. Like I think that if you waste the utility of time that you're actually like it's kind of destructive to your life and to everything and to the world and to the planet and to everyone because you didn't like you could have been doing something more productive that would have like done better for the universe. Like that's what I care about and it's really fucking kind of weird, especially when a lot of times I'm like trying to make plans so that I can just more efficiently do stupid shit that I'm going to do with my day anyways, but it's just important to me in that regard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a very deep way to think about that sort of thing. I mean, but that's who you are. So that's just part of your personality. Part of your charm, I guess you could say.
You could say.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Oh, Adrian, did you even talk about if you were drinking a beer?
No, but I can go grab one really quick.
I mean, if you want to. If you don't want to, that's fine. I just thought that maybe you were going to.
No, yeah, I will. Let me go grab one really quick. I'm gonna go see which one I should get. So, Tim?
Hello.
All right, we're back.
Okay, so Adrian, what kind of beer are you drinking there?
Have you heard of Almanac Beer Company?
I have. They're from out here, or for Northern California.
Actually, yeah, let's see. Almanac. Let's see. Government warning. Who listens to that?
Nobody.
Oh, by the way, Tim, eating an apple and getting sick, that's a pre-existing condition, so no more.
Oh, yeah. Under the new, what do they call it, American Healthcare Act?
The American Healthcare Act, yeah. You know, it doesn't say where they're from. Okay, anyway. This is Almanac Beer Company. This is their Saison Dolores. Saison? Ooh. A dry hop Saison brewed with wheat and rye. Malt, two-row wheat, white wheat, pale rye, hops, Mosaic, Hallertau, blank, and Huel Melon. I don't really know what that is, but...
Huel Melon is one of my personal favorite hops.
Oh, okay. Is it good?
From New Zealand. Yeah, that's from San Francisco. I've had that beer. It's really good.
You're right. San Francisco. Brewed and canned by Almanac Beer Company in San Francisco. So I've had this in my fridge for like well over a month, like 2 months now, I think. I got this a while ago. And I've been wanting to try it. And I got Saison because we're getting to that season again. You know, it's getting a little bit warmer. You know, we're in the springtime. It's not summer yet, but... it's about that time, eh? To start drinking something a little bit more. You know, so.
For sure.
I like their can. It's really cool. It looks like, it looks like 16-bit graphics of like a farm or something.
Yeah, I love that.
Bird's eye view.
Because really, you got the can, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to stick to cans, by the way. I think it's also better for the environment, honestly, than bottles.
Yeah, no, totally. I've been all about them cans, too, lately.
Oh, I also got some pretty cool beer mugs as a wedding gift.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not drinking this out of a beer mug, but I should have grabbed them, but it's fine. But yeah, I got some pretty cool beer mugs, so
let's see. Where'd you get those from?
I don't know who gave them to me, actually.
Give them a shout-out.
I got four of them. It was like a four-pack. Anyway, nice, let's try this bad boy. That doesn't taste... Oh, this is a Saison. What did I say you got earlier? I got Ghost. That's what I said. Not... I said all my beers were ghosts. Most of them were ghosts. This is a Saison. Anyway.
Right.
This tastes really good, Tim. This is like, let's see. I mean, it's like a very light. It's got that, what's it called? The farmhouse ale style to it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like the funky, little kind of funky, spontaneous yeast.
Not as strong as that, but somewhere along those lines. It's a little bit more hop forward than what you would expect from a Saison. I think it's because of the hops that are in it. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. That is a hoppy Saison for sure.
Which you know me, I like. I don't like, I'm not a big fan of maltiness, as you know, but I think the malts and the hops in this are balanced really well. And I like that it's more hop forward than malt forward, and it's actually pretty good. It's definitely has that sort of Saison profile, but it's not super Saison-y. You know what I mean? Like, other Saisons that are more Saison-y than this, if that's even a word. But this is good. I like this. This is a beer you can easily enjoy on a warm day. Like, are you kidding? Like, you pour this on a warm spring or on a hot summer day, and it's good beer right there. I'm gonna pull up some information on this one. But yeah, that's actually really good. I'm surprised. I'm glad I got this. I never heard of Almanac before. What have you had?
Almanac's a great brewery, yeah? Honestly. Yeah.
Almanac Saison. So, have you had this one, or you've had other beers?
Yeah, I've had that one.
Okay. Let's see what the rate beer score. Bum, ba, da, bum. 83-68. 83 for the overall, 68 for the style. So that's not surprising because it's not really what you would expect a lot from a Saison, which would explain the 68, but the 83, you know, overall style or score makes sense because it's just a good beer in general.
Right.
Introducing Saison Dolores Almanac's newest year-round, a bright aromatic brew for all seasons inspired by San Francisco's Mission District. We combine barley, rye, and Sonoran wheat grown in Mendocino County and ferment the beer with our house Saison yeast. We dry hop it to create a California Saison with flavors of spicy white pepper, fruity melon, and a clean, food-friendly finish. Enjoy this lively aromatic farmhouse ale with fresh seafood, funky washed rind cheeses, and classic French style charcuterie? What is that?
Charcuterie? It's like meats and cheeses.
Oh, okay.
I think that actually is just meats.
I think so. But anyway, this is good. This sounds like something that would come from San Francisco, just hearing the whole enjoy this with some funky washed rind cheeses, because I imagine in wine country you eat a lot of cheese with wine and stuff, right? Like that's like a thing up there, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably a thing.
I mean, I don't know. You were in San Francisco recently, right? Did you guys go on any wine expeditions?
We did not. I haven't gone on any wine expeditions in a very long time.
No, not really your thing, is it really?
No, maybe it should be.
I remember a while ago you went on a thing, Michael Del Torre, friend of the show. You went on a wine thing with him once.
That was a lot of fun. That was in San Diego.
Oh, that was in San Diego? I thought it was San Francisco for some reason. Awesome, Possum.
I think I should go to a nice San Diego wine tasting party.
Did you ever see the movie Sideways with Paul Giamatti? Do you remember how he's like, I'm not drinking any fucking Merlot or whatever it was? what's the style of beer that you just will stay at? Like, what's your Merlot of that? Like, if someone said to you, we're going to go on a beer cruise, and you're like, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to drink any fucking blank kind of beer. What would be it for you?
I don't know. I don't think that's the thing for me.
I guess it's different with beer than it is with wine, you know?
Right, right.
Because I think beer, you can enjoy a good beer in any style, and maybe with wine, not so much. I don't know. Like, maybe Pinot Noir is not as good as, you know, Merlots or... I don't know anything about wine, so I'm just spitballing here, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
All right. I am, actually.
Okay, cool. So, Tim, I have some articles here I wanted to talk about. One of them is kind of an anti-AB InBev article, which I think we've already done on this show, so maybe we'll skip that one.
Okay.
The other one, I'll let you pick top 15 tips for craft brewery and craft beer bar success, or everything you need to know about Africa's beer culture.
Ooh, Let's do Africa's beer culture.
All right, it's a little long, so I'll try to kind of skim through it.
That's probably a good idea.
This is by vinepair.com. Wine, palm oils, cocoa, and coffee are among the agricultural products Americans consume from Africa. I don't even know that. But pity the American beer geek and craft brewer befit of the ancient, heterogeneous, and gloriously innovative source of wisdom and knowledge that has sufficed African beer culture for centuries. According to the Western paradigm, the basic building blocks of beer are universal: water, hops, malted barley, yeast. But over in Africa, it's a different world. Beer is made from sorghum and maize, flavored with cassava root, hibiscus, and banana. Wow. I can't even imagine a beer with any of those things, can you?
No, I cannot. Although some people say that, like, Bavarian Hefeweizen tastes like banana.
Yeah, I can see that. I can easily see that. Two tributaries of knowledge and tradition flow into the taps of African brews today. One is tribal. Ancient Egyptians brewed beer, as did tribes throughout the African continent, long before European settlers arrived in the 15th and 16th centuries. But along with colonialism and political upheaval, settlers, especially the Dutch and British, introduced their beer brewing techniques and recipes to Africans, some of which were adopted on the continent. Settlers did not adopt indigenous techniques until centuries later, when large-scale brewers like Guinness came in and fused European and African beer recipes and techniques. Oh, that's interesting. While tribal traditions were very significantly country to country throughout Africa, the ongoing humanitarian crisis and political upheaval make truly exploring them logistically not to mention ethically, challenging. Needless to say, every country in Africa is different. But some generalizations for the entire continent can be made when it comes to beer. Women are often the brewers of beer in Africa, while men are typically the consumers. Sorghum, a type of grass, has been used to brew beer in Africa as far back as time records. The indigenous plant can survive high temperatures and extreme drought, and over the centuries, sorghum strains have been selected for their auspicious qualities related to brewing, high in tannin with a soft endosperm. Now, I'm not any kind of botanist, so what does tannin endosperm mean, Tim? Because I don't know what any of those things are.
I don't necessarily know what the endosperm part means, but tannin is... it's a chemical that's commonly used in beer, and it has to do with balancing out the flavors. I forget which flavor it balances out, but some places tell you to use tea because tea is high in tannin. So I think it balances out sweetness with like a bittery effect is what I would assume. But yeah, that's what tannin is.
This makes me want to try an African beer now.
All right.
One of the most well-known, fascinating, and influential beer traditions in Africa hails from the Zulu, thought to be the largest ethnic group in South Africa, numbering the 10 million plus range. Zulu people led an agrarian life until recently. It was life that centered on farming and animal husbandry. While colonialism and a series of natural disasters decimated their traditional lifestyle, much of their inherent cultural tradition remains an important part of their life today. Beer drinking in Zulu homes, even in the 21st century, is highly ritualized, with beer being offered to ancestors and guests. Also, beer is consumed in stunning and now highly collectible ceramic beer pots that Zulu women make. There are four types of vessels: Imbiza, Upheezo, Ukamba, and Anchizana. I can't say those words. All with Thanks. Different uses in the beer making, storage, and presentation process. They are laboriously handmade, richly decorated, and vary dramatically region to region. The process of making the beer pot, the Ukamba, is especially arduous, starting with a walk to two different rivers to dig clay out of the banks. The clay is then dried, pulverized with a grinding stone, sieved, and reconstituted with water, then formed by building coils of clay and smoothing them down with a stone. The pots are fired twice to achieve their trademark black sheen. Damn. That is Jeez. A labor. I'm tired just from reading that paragraph.
Well, yeah, and you would, I mean... they're kind of overachievers over there because they think Donald has only fired black people once. They fire their black sheen pots twice.
Well, you got to appreciate the work that goes into making that, right? I mean, it's almost it's a huge art and a skill in and of itself. It almost sounds like.
I know. From the way they're talking about it, the beer pots, as they said, are very collectible now even. Like, it's just insane how much is going into all this.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you would think like, oh, with raising and growing, you know, animals for food and fields for wheat and whatnot, stuff that you actually consume, you need a lot of work. But this is just beer we're talking about. I mean, beer is great, but I mean, even into beer, they put all this effort into it, which is kind of amazing to think about, right? So,
right.
In addition to being an important part of ceremonial life, beer is embedded in the everyday, so naturally there's a lot of suds being guzzled. Africa's beer market is expected to grow faster than that of any other region in the world over the next 5 years, according to the beverage trend forecaster Canadine. Urbanization, a skyrocketing population, plus increased GDP are contributing to the rise. Nigeria alone is set to become the third largest population by 2050, according to the UN, and the continent as a whole will boast the largest working and drinking age demographic by 2050. Growth in beer consumption is expected to continue at 5% year over year from 2015 to 2020, outpacing Asia, the Middle East, and North Africa, all pegged at 3%, and far behind of crickety old markets like Western Europe and North America, pegged at 1% or less. So that's interesting. So it sounds like it's an up-and-coming beer paradise over there in the African continent, huh?
Yeah, and the beers sound like that they're definitely crafted well, and they're putting a lot into it. It's kind of insane just how much they're putting into the beer culture in Africa right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because I never even had Africa on my radar as far as like a place where beer is a thing. And so it's interesting to be able to read this and learn about it. The vast majority, about 90% of the beer being consumed in Africa, is monopolized by four global companies, of course. Sab Miller, Heineken, Kestel, and Diageo. And counterintuitively, the African market is in turn monopolizing some major brands' global marketing strategies. Take Guinness. In 2007, Africa surpassed Ireland as the second largest market for the Diageo-owned Guinness worldwide. Guinness arrived on African shores in 1827, where the British Empire had colonies or soldiers. When locals overthrew the Brits in the 20th century, the beer stayed. In 1962, 2 years after Nigeria gained independence, Guinness built the first brewery outside the UK in Lagos. Oh, is it Lagos or Lagos? I don't know how to say that.
I think it's Lagos.
Now there are 13 Guinness breweries throughout Africa, but they are churning out Irish Guinness. But they're not churning out Irish Guinness, sorry. Instead of barley, African Guinness is brewed with maize. I think maize is like corn, right?
I think that's what they're talking about.
Yeah. Or sorghum. It also clocks in with a higher ABV, about 7.5%. Wow. Versus the 4-5% in Guinness Draught and Extra Stout. The company introduced Guinness African Special, made with local herbs and spices, including kola nut, chili, and lemongrass. Ooh. All the major brands have make beer specifically for the African market. Primus and Brahma from Heineken, Kilimanjaro from Sab Miller, etc. So it sounds like they're obviously having to tailor their beers for the African palate, I guess, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty interesting to learn. I almost want to try one of those now. A Guinness at 7.5%, that is not a snoozer, Tim. That's a strong beer.
It is not.
Mm. I think most double IPAs fall in that range, so it's interesting to hear that a Guinness would be, you know, that high of an ABV.
Well, I mean, I would assume that these pots, these artisanal pots that they're making for beer aren't super big, so I'm going to guess that over there right now they're kind of in that range where they make the beer really strong and they don't drink a lot of it.
That's what it sounds like, right?
Like, it seems like that's their culture already. So you know how the kind of the beer culture here in America has transitioned more to the, like, drink less. And not even necessarily now. It's, like, kind of switching even to where it's not high alcohol, but just you drink less in general. But it seems like that's where they're at right now, is that they started out not drinking that much but wanting it to, like, have a big impact. Which is, I mean, you know, you want to get – I guess you want to get a buzz out of your – your drink, right? So you want to get some bang for your buck, might as well.
That makes sense, because here, if you just want beer, the regular Joe Schmo just goes and picks up a six-pack of Bud Light, which is nothing.
Right.
But over there, it's like, well, you don't really have the convenience of just going to Circle K or 7-Eleven and getting a six-pack of whatever you want, so you kind of just have to make do with what you have. And like you said, you want to get the most bang for your buck.
I wonder if Guinness and all the other ones are serving their stuff in those artisanal pots over there.
I'm not seeing that it says it anywhere, but I wonder that too. That'd be pretty interesting. I don't think they, I mean, I'm sure the way
they probably wouldn't.
No, because that wouldn't, I don't know if that would make, I don't know if that would be feasible really, like just from a logistical point of view.
Right.
Unless they have tap rooms where you can bring your own pot and then they just fill it up there, you know?
Right.
Almost like if you bring in a growler or something.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Let's see here. I'm going to keep going. Actually, you know what I was going to talk about really quick? I was reading something on Reddit the other day where somebody was like, they were talking about beer in Oregon, specifically in Portland, right?
And okay.
A lot of people were complaining like, well, you know what? The thing I hate about beer out here is that everybody's just trying to make their beer as hoppier than the other guy. And eventually it just tastes like you're drinking a Christmas tree. And I hate that. Like, give me malts any day of the week. And I'm thinking, I really like hoppy beers, but the idea of drinking a Christmas tree is kind of disgusting to me.
Right.
So, like, I don't know, is an IPA, like, is making hoppy beers just really that big of a thing right now, you think? Or is it just in that particular area up in Portland? Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like...
I think really hoppy beers account for a large percentage of the market right now for craft beer. So, yeah, I think it is a big thing, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, how hoppy is too hoppy? You know what I mean? That's what I want to know. Like,
that is the question. I don't know. You know, I like good hoppy beers, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But if it tastes like you're drinking a Christmas tree, that can't be good. Because nobody wants to
drink. Well, yeah, I mean... This grapefruit shandy sure doesn't taste like a Christmas tree. That's for sure.
No, that doesn't taste very hop forward at all. So
no, I mean it's just fresh and fruity, rooty tooty.
Fresh and fruity, rooty tooty. All right. So the article kind of goes on and talks about some different, what do you call it, African craft brews. Let's see here. Flying Dodo may as well be Brooklyn in Africa. Oscar Olsen of the Wee Island I can't say some of these damn names. Meritus? Studied in America and in Germany and fell in love with all the varieties of beers he encountered. Back home, he decided to hop up the island, opening a beer restaurant and shop called the Lambic Beer House in 2009, and then going all in with the Flying Dodo Brewery in 2011. The beers here are classic. Think Blonde, an American-style blonde pale ale with Polaris, Slatic, and Galaxy hops, and Belgian-style Wit, a traditional wit beer brewed with orange peel, coriander, and pearl, sapphire, and cascade hops. The brewery is stationed on the ground floor of a restaurant and bears all the hallmarks of hipsterdom: exposed wood beams, industrial chic, strawberry beer soap for sale. So you can find this in Africa. And the Inland Microbrewery, African Craft, located outside Serra, Accra in Ghana. Clement Demjemin Fash Sawyer brew beer at the Inland Microbrewery using sorghum and plantains. Yas. Dajame grew up surrounded by beer culture, but most of it was influenced by Germany. The country previously occupied Ghana's Volts region. I don't know if Germany occupied anything outside of World War II. he studied beer in Germany, returned home, and worked for commercial breweries for decades before going the field to bottle route. The only non-African ingredient they use are hops. While they currently only brew in to order, they're focused on traditional African recipes as opposed to the more Eurocentric brews favored by most lager craft brewers in Africa. Is gaining a wider audience among locals and tourists keen for a taste of authenticity. And then there's one other thing they talk about, indigenous brews. For now, most of the legitimately craft brewing utilizing local ingredients and indigenous know-how is happening in rural areas for home consumption. Ginger beers, honey beers, and chibuku, or porridge beer, are frequently made by home brewers, often women, and consumed by the man they live with. Okay, so those are the big three major things. Are you sending me something on Twitter or on Skype, by the way?
Yeah, it's just pictures of the pots.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, those look pretty nice. So, anyways, there you have it, Tim. That's kind of beer making in Africa in a nutshell. It sounds very what's the word? I don't know. It sounds very grassroots, almost literally and figuratively over there.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. They do a lot of very kind of almost feels backwards, but that's just because I guess the way that we look at stuff here as a business, while they're treating it, I guess, more like an art form, which is really cool. Where's that article from?
This is from vinepair.com.
Vinepair.com, okay. Yeah,
let's see.
I
don't know if it has to do with... It's just a catch-all alcohol beverage website type thing. It's not just for beers or...
Yeah.
I guess it's like for a little bit of everything. But yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't know that hops... I just assume hops grow anywhere. I guess they're not really native to Africa, huh?
Oh, no, I guess it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense because they're very water. What is the word? Constrictive. Like they need a lot of water.
Really? Because I thought they were more. Because
no.
I don't know.
Hops need a lot of water.
Do really? I thought that. That's why I assume they grew. I assume they grew everywhere was because they don't need that much water. But I guess I was completely wrong on that. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah, they use a lot of water and like a more temperate kind of cooler. Danker kind of foresty vibe place to grow, honestly.
Yeah. So what about malt? Does malt need
water? Malt can grow anywhere because malt is like wheat and different grains that always like famously grow in pretty much any climate pretty well.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Like wheat and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Tim. You learned a little
bit
about
you go.
Beers in Africa today. Now I actually want to go over there and try some. Maybe someday.
Maybe.
Maybe someday get to do a top beer episode with Africa. I wonder if you get African beers in stores here in general. I wonder, huh?
Maybe you might be able to find something, but it's probably tough.
Probably tough. Maybe World Market would have something. World Market.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, World Market tends to have stuff from. There's not really any Bevmos here in Colorado, so that'd be kind of hard. But yeah. I don't know. If you don't ever go to BevMo to get your beers, do you?
Very rarely.
Yeah. I just remember they had, like, you know, their whole international section with beers from different countries and stuff like that.
Right.
I always thought that was pretty cool.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey and Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apoitas podcast, the Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
Okay, Tim, so yeah, what else? What else? What other kind of housekeeping should we be doing? Is there anything else? What's been going on with you lately? As far as if you want to, before we wrap this up, you want to talk some shows you've been working on, or I know you're still doing We'll Do It Live, right?
Yeah, We'll Do It Live. It's definitely becoming a labor of love for me. A lot of intense. I put a lot of effort into editing that and putting everything together, and I get a little. I guess a little more personal, because I do kind of a... It's inspired by, like, WTF, but, like, a pre-show kind of intro to the interview and talk about personal stuff. And that was one of the ones where, like I said, I kind of beat myself up a little bit about not making it to your wedding. I talked about that and just some other stuff that's going on in my life with some friends. A mutual friend of ours, Mike D, came and visited. He's going through some stuff, so... I'd say go check that out. It definitely, it's more personal, and that's kind of the point of that show. And as I've said multiple times, but I think it bears repeating because I don't think people buy it, honestly, when you say something like this. But it's a show that's not necessarily specifically only for wrestling fans. I'll just say that. Like, it's a show that I think anyone can listen to and enjoy, because we don't talk about the minutiae of wrestling. We talk about what it's like at the venue. Mm-hmm. And if you're even just interested in, like, taking a peek into another world, I think you can get it from there. So that's part of why I kind of like that show quite a bit. But I've been working on that. Had a couple episodes come out. Otherwise, you know, that's been about it.
Well, I was going to ask you, you had a beer from Mike D you'd been saying for a long time. Did you finally get to drink it with him or no?
Oh, yeah, we did. That was a while ago, actually, that we ended up drinking it. And it was really good.
What beer was it? I don't even remember anymore.
It was a... I think it was a Saison from Ladyface Brewing with kumquats and aged in white barrels, and it was fantastic.
Awesome. So you guys finally got the. So is he doing okay? I mean, you probably don't want to say too much, but is he doing all right?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's doing great.
Is he still in San Francisco? Is he still up there?
He is.
Yeah. He must love it up there, right?
Out there recently. What's that?
He must love it up there, right? Is that mean? The fact that he's still
seems
up there.
He seems to enjoy it. Yeah, we actually drank that beer when we went up and visited him up there. I brought it with me. That was a couple weeks back.
Yeah, that was only like 2 months ago, I think.
Probably at this point, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like an interesting show. I've been meaning to check it out. I think I will check it out sooner than later. I like that it's inspired by the Bill O'Reilly We'll Do It Live, and now Bill O'Reilly is no longer on Fox. So
I know my show outlasted Bill O'Reilly. Someone had to take over for old Papa Bear.
Old Papa Bear Bill O'Reilly. You know, it's funny. Somebody was saying not to get too political, but I saw something on Twitter where it was like Tommy Lahren. Remember her? Tommy, that really right wing chick that had her own show on Fox. I think it was the young blonde woman. Who was
yeah.
So she got ousted. You know, Bill O'Reilly's ousted. Sean Hannity might be ousted from Fox 2 next. We'll see. Yeah. You know, people like what's his name? Rush Limbaugh, you know, not doing that great really ratings wise. It's almost like ever since this regime came into power, a lot of the right wing, you know, media people aren't doing that great. I feel like they were doing better when there was a Democrat in office. Now that there's a Republican in office, they're not doing that great. So
this is true.
Maybe he really is making America great again, at least American media.
Yeah, I think so. He's really working it out, huh?
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Well, Tim, I think that's a good comeback episode, unless there's something else you wanted to yak about really quick, or...
No, that's it. And then, we're done here. We'll get back to our regular format coming up next week. I don't know. What do you want to do next week? Let's talk about it right now. Maybe we could put a poll on Twitter or something. I don't know. What do you think? Should we do an interview next week, or should we do a top beer next week?
I think we should do an interview next week, because I feel like it's been longer since we've done that. So...
Okay.
Let's do that.
I don't know if that's true, but okay.
It feels that way. Maybe it's not right, but it feels that way. And you know how it is, Tim. Whatever feels right is right. Not what actually
that's
is
true.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
As far as the top beer. Fact.
Yeah. As far as top beer, I was thinking maybe now is the time, maybe for our sort of soft season two, we should do top brewery. You know what I mean? Where we pick a brewery. You pick a brewery that you like. I pick a brewery I like. And we bring you three beers from that brewery. And we just go through it. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Top brewery. We'll like I said, I'll pick something. You'll pick something. Three beers. Bam, wham, bam. Thank you, man. There is a show. That's how we make content, folks. So there you go.
That's how it's done.
Awesome.
Congratulations, folks. You got in on the other side of things.
It is decided.
Get a backstage pass.
And since we're opening up the curtain a little bit, I am trying to create a Discord account for us, because I think with Discord, it's easier to do shows, and we can also have people call in or people just join in at whatever. You know what I mean? So we'll see how that goes. We're gonna beta test it really quick.
All right, fantastic.
Anything you want to plug before we go, Tim?
I feel like I already did this show, that show, and This Week in Wrestling over on the Place to Be, or actually on Pro Wrestling Only Network is kind of the big stuff.
Awesome. I have been on hiatus with Storage Room for a very long time, longer than I'm willing to admit, but I do want to get back into it. I have some stuff that I'm working on. And also just follow us on Twitter at Lucha Undead. Follow me at Della Boots. And Tim, it's been a while, but I think you remember what little saying we like to go out with. So if you want to do us the honor.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Life is all about the three Bs, right? Good beers, good buds, and good banter. Good night, everybody.